Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, let's just, let's jump into this. We have 24 hours ago, I would have said, there's not a lot going on. I mean, the playoffs, whatever, but, wow. a lot in the last 24 hours. We have to start from the top. First off, first and foremost, we have friend of the pod, or friend or foe of the pod? I don't know.
No, friend.
Okay, yeah, definitely friend, sometimes foe. It's his night to shine. His guy had an epic night. President of the Brooklyn Nets or New Jersey Nets fan club, Mr. Adam Arecchio.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to start booing right now. That's fine. I honestly, I deserve it.
I think you are more popular and have more of a following, maybe even more followers than the actual Nets official account.
I don't know. That crowd sounded pretty good on TNT, and you know they kind of muted a little bit. So.
You know what?
Yeah,
I agree. That was the loudest Nets crowd I think I've ever. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, it had to be. It had to be, and I'm kind of upset that was the one game this series that I didn't go to. Of course,
I know that was. I mean, just wow. I mean, one of the most legendary performances ever. I was following you on Twitter and. You said something about a legacy game. Yeah, absolutely. Just take it away.
I was kind of resigned to the series being over, honestly. After the ankle sprain, I was kind of like, okay, I guess it's just not going to happen. Like, just right. This is it. It was all year. It was somebody was going down, somebody was popping in, and this seemed like it was finally too much. And then... like you got word throughout the day that Harden was like thinking about playing, and then they upgraded him to doubtful, and then all of a sudden he's questionable, and then they bring him out there and he could barely move. Yeah. And Milwaukee's making all their shots, so I don't know. It just looked like it wasn't going to happen, and then it was like Kevin Durant just wouldn't let them lose. It was unbelievable. And I think they got a lot of help from Milwaukee. Honestly, like I'm not really sure. Like I'm not really sure what they're doing sometimes, especially at the end of the game. But
right.
I mean, you have to give most of the credit, I guess, to Durant. He just couldn't miss a shot. They just ran pick and roll like 7, 8, 9 times in a row with Durant handling the ball, and he just made every jumper.
Yeah. There was that 1-3 that was just ridiculous, and throughout the day, you know, I was texting with Juice and Pancakes, just kind of about. Like laughing at Durant, like this is it, right? Because he gets trolled so much about, oh, he can't do it on his own, you know, he's got to join super teams, got to do this, got to do that, and he just shut everyone up with one game. Like, you kidding me? Team on my back.
I wonder if he was reading all that stuff. I wonder if he was like on Twitter reading it all.
I feel like he always is. No,
yeah, he definitely was. Yeah,
I think he was. Yeah. When I was watching the game, the first thing that kind of stuck out before Durant went nuclear hot. Was James Harden. He reminded me of Anthony Davis. Like, you kind of needed that and it was always questionable, right? How hurt is he? Is he really hurt? Can he play? And then as soon as he was on the floor, I said, oh no, he's hurt. He can't move. He's really like laboring around. And I think for a while he was stuck on 0 points. And I said, this series is over. It's done.
Yeah.
But then I think he kind of got a little bit warmed up and he was able to make some plays. And then Durant just went crazy. It's been a while since I saw somebody so on fire like that. Like, he was beyond on fire.
Yeah.
And yeah, he couldn't miss. You know, Harden couldn't move, and they're hiding him on Tucker. And Tucker, who's like an absolute zero on offense.
Zero.
And Tucker's in there to guard KD. And at that point, it's like nobody's stopping KD, so I'm just waiting for Milwaukee to do something where maybe they could bring somebody else onto the floor that could maybe attack Harden a little bit, even like a guy like Forbes that could maybe run around screens and stuff like that. It just didn't make sense that they didn't make any adjustments with that or attack him or put him in pick and roll. And they finally get to him at the end of the game, and it's a Giannis fadeaway. And I'm like, really? Like, this is how you're going to do it?
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense.
That's what I didn't understand. Watching the game, right? And Budenholzer is, like, contrary to what we've been watching, he actually is a really good coach. And he comes from the Popovich tree. And you see Kevin Durant, right? He's pulling up from wherever. He's unstoppable. After three shots, he's on fire, right? Then you call timeout, and you kind of figure things out. After six and seven shots in a row, like, maybe you need to double team them. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm not a basketball scientist or anything, but maybe a double team, maybe a triple team after you see him make nine
baskets. Why not Giannis? I thought they were going to trap him.
Or why not Giannis? Go ahead. Is it Giannis? Didn't he get like first team or second team all defense? He gets it like every year, it seems. Like, why?
Yeah, he was defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah, what the heck? I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, why not put him on him? Do they not want to, like, tire him out on offense?
I think he struggles against perimeter guys on defense. I think they like him a little bit lower, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, I think it was worth a try.
Yeah.
I mean,
something. I mean, Jesus Christ. Unbelievable.
Nothing else is working.
Right. Right.
What's the worst that happened? Durant could score a 49-point triple-double. I mean, you know, like,
yeah.
<it's laughs>
Now where do you put this game? Because obviously you think back that, you know, LeBron against the Pistons, LeBron against the Celtics when he was on the Heat. You think of the Jordan flu game. I mean, there's so many games you can think of. I mean, where does this rank? I mean, obviously they got to win the series, but, like, you know, let's say they win the series. Like, where does this game rank? I mean, it's got to be. I don't know. I mean, it's too recent. Obviously, we're all excited. You know, top five, you could say. But, like, I don't know. What do you think?
So, I was saying as I was watching it, obviously, I was probably overreacting. But I was like, I've never seen anybody do anything like this before.
Right.
I think it's definitely, if they win, if they win the series, it's probably, you know, like you mentioned, one of the five. You know, the LeBron game against Detroit, the LeBron game against Boston. Yeah, I mean, besides that, I mean, another one to mention would be the Lillard game. I know they lost that game, but the game earlier playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, I think that should be mentioned also.
The 50
burger. Yeah, exactly. But it's definitely one of the, the greatest Nets performance I've ever seen.
Right, right. And I saw someone on Twitter say yesterday that, like, Durant, it was Stephen A. Stephen A. said Durant is the greatest New York professional basketball player ever, which, yeah, right? I mean, I was trying to think. I'm like, let's see.
I don't know about all
Ewing,
that. I mean,
Bernard King, Will Street, Jason Kidd.
How about
Dr. J? Dr. J, yeah. Someone snuck in with that. I forgot. Stephen Bondi, I think, said that with the Long Island Nets.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just going by career, it's got to be Durant, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I'll argue.
But, yeah, I think he's got to win a title before we say that.
Right. For sure. I it really got me thinking today. I almost want to argue, is Durant the greatest offensive player we've ever seen? Like, I'm not talking all-around game. I'm just saying pure scorer, shooter, just can do it all. I mean, obviously Jordan, but, like, I don't know. I mean, was Jordan pulling up from, like, the logo, you know, in front in LeBron's face and hitting threes? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
It's a different era.
Different era, for sure. But, like, where do you put Durant as far as, like, offensive player all time?
I mean, the crazy thing about Durant is that sometimes you see, like, the numbers and it's like, okay, he had 49, but he only made, like, even last night, I think he made, like, 17 out of 24 shots. Like,
right.
The efficiency is what really stands out. I mean, he's definitely in that conversation. I think he's probably one of the three or four best scorers of all time. He does it so easily. I feel like sometimes he's a little too unselfish. Even last night, I was yelling at the TV. I'm like, "Hey, man, just shoot it! Why do you keep giving it up?"
But he was facilitating too. I mean, he had the triple double. He had one pass that was
nice
sick.
Yeah,
I mean, he took over. He really did. And Nash, I mean, he rode him. It's going to be interesting tomorrow night. You know, you know, how Harden and Durant come out. I mean, they may just kind of like lay down and just say, fuck it, let's just kill them game seven. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's kind of how this series has been.
How many coaches do you think would play him 48 minutes?
Thibodeau, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a given. Doc's kind of like a, you know, because Thibodeau comes from that tree. He'd probably do that too.
Yeah, he's old school.
Yeah, like any old school guy would do that. But Nash, you know, Bill Simmons, I was listening to him today. He made a good point. You know, player coaches, you know, they kind of look at it like, well, you know, I would play the whole game. So my superstar's going to play the whole game. So
He didn't seem like he was that tired, which is the crazy part.
He didn't.
Honestly.
Not once.
He didn't seem like he was running out of gas. So,
and he was pumped up. He was jacked up. And the crowd was pretty electric. This is but we still got a lot of basketball left. You know, they still gotta win 9 games. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot left. How do you guys see the rest of the series going? Yeah, the Jinx. We just kind of like asked the same question.
Sorry.
So you go first. What do you think?
I think you're gonna see Harden kind of get into a little bit of a better rhythm. I think it was a combination of the hamstring and he just hadn't played. Wow. So I think if he's in a little bit of better rhythm, and I think Milwaukee might be a little demoralized. I think there's a decent chance, even though like the Nets are like a 5-point underdog tomorrow, I think there's a decent chance they can close it out.
Yeah. Juice, what do you think?
I'm going to say it's going to go 7. Milwaukee is going to have a huge crowd. There's a lot of criticism on Giannis, and he was humble. He was very complimentary of KD, but I think deep down he knows, you know, he has to live up to those MVPs and Defensive Player of the Year awards, and the crowd will be there. I'm expecting a big game out of Chris Middleton, and it's going to go 7, and we'll see who can play for the Nets in that 7th game. I don't know the Kyrie ankle. I didn't see it live. I saw it the next day. And coming from somebody who's had a few ankle injuries, that's one that looked crushing. It looked bad.
Oh, it looked horrible. Yeah. And was he there?
I don't think he's coming back.
Was he there? I didn't see him. Did they show him?
No, he wasn't.
I don't think he was there.
Great question.
He might be getting treatment. Like, you know, he might be getting treatment to get ready for the next round or even the finals. Because when you hurt yourself that bad and you don't require surgery, I think it's a round-the-clock treatment.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
That's wild. I mean, I can see that regular season for sure. I mean, I don't think the games he sat out. I mean, I know some of them he was there, but probably a lot of them he wasn't. But, wow, I mean, a game like that to not be there, you know, that's unless he was up in
that
the box.
That is kind of surprising, actually. Yeah, it is, definitely. Maybe he was at a town hall meeting or something.
Maybe he should run for mayor of New York City. You know, he's got just as good a shot as everyone else, you know?
Yeah, he's got a little cachet now.
Yeah. I think it goes 7. I think they kind of, you know, not lay down tomorrow night, but just it's, you know, Bucks have been good at home. And then, yeah, I think 7, they kind of put him away. And then we'll see who wins this current series, Hawks, Sixers. Sixers are up big right now, but as you know, that won't last. I mean, yeah, that was pretty brutal the other night. Embiid 0-for-12 in the second half and missed that layup. And, you know, I work with a guy who's a Philly guy, and, you know, of course he was making excuses for him like every other Sixers fan. Like, oh, his knee and blah, blah, blah. Okay, like he's 7'3 and he missed a layup. But, you know, unbelievable performance, just electric. I hate all of it, but at the same time, I admire greatness and I'm jealous, I'm envious, but it was fun to watch.
It was.
Yeah, I mean... Oh my God! I just can't help but just think about, you know, what if, you know, I see Kleiman, Rich Kleiman courtside, Knick fan, just
yes.
You know, it's pretty brutal. But
well, I mean, times are changing for the Knicks, so I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, we're getting Luka. Haven't you heard? All over Twitter. Yeah, yeah. Every pick for the next 10 years, plus Frank and Knox. Who says no?
No, it's worth it.
Yeah. I transitioned to there. I want to get to that, but I'm kind of going in order of so much crazy shit happened today. What do we go to next? CP3? Should we go to that next?
Yeah.
CP3. I mean, wow. Suns riding high. Chris Paul maybe playing his best basketball of his career. They sweep the Nuggets. They're waiting for the Jazz Clippers. And we haven't had this issue, I don't think, all playoffs. And Chris Paul now is out for 10 days for health and safety protocols. He's got COVID. Tested positive. Go ahead.
No, my question is, right, so was he in contact with someone who had COVID, or he got COVID?
I'm not sure. He tested positive.
I read that he actually got it.
Yeah, tested positive.
Okay. That's what I read.
And everyone was like, oh, he's anti-vax. But no, he got the Pfizer vaccine, supposedly, back in, like, February. So he has it, but it's probably worse that he has no symptoms, because he's just going to be sitting there 10 days like, fuck, I should be playing. I don't feel anything. I mean, I'm not positive about that, but like, he got the vaccine. So, I mean, I guess he's lucky that the Suns, Jazz Clippers series is, you know, 2-2. And when would game 7 of that be? Sunday? Right?
Game 6 is tonight, right? Or I'm sorry, game 5 is tonight?
Game 5's tonight.
Yeah, I think game 7 is going to be Sunday.
Sunday. So how many days is that from now? Today's Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. One, two. So he has a little bit of time.
So game
if
1.
It's only 10 days.
Yeah, he might.
The real luck in all this is that, you know, they're in the playoffs. Thank goodness that they swept right away.
Right.
Because if they were still playing, say it was game 5 or game 6, he might have gotten Devin Booker sick. He might have gotten the whole team sick. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because maybe he got this little break and he's home, he got it. But now he's just going to have to sit 10 days. I bet you he's okay, because you know what they're going to do is, yes, they say 10 days, but then you just have to have 2 negative tests.
Right.
I think consecutive in the same day, and then you'll be clear. My prediction is he'll be there at least for game 2. Maybe game 1. Who knows?
Yeah.
But game 2, he'll be back.
I think you're right. I think this is just all blown up, you know. Yeah, I think he'll be back. They are lucky they swept, and that this other series could go 7, which I think it will. But actually, I don't know now, because let's transition to the next crazy news of the day. Kawhi Leonard, you know, who arguably is a top 5 player in the league, out of nowhere, what was he have a torn ACL or possible? What's the diagnosis there?
Yeah, they said ACL injury, but they said I think they're gonna announce that it's gonna be torn probably soon.
Wow, so he's out. He's
is the vibe that I'm getting. They say he's definitely done for the playoffs. So
Jesus,
did he get hurt during that game? Because I mean, the last thing I saw was that amazing Kawhi light that he had. Shout out to Ian Eagle.
Shit.
That dunk was incredible. That was like a get up off your seat, like standing up.
Yeah.
Dunk.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw that, but I didn't see him go down or get hurt, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know when it happened.
I hadn't seen it because I thought he was sitting because it was a blowout. But someone had mentioned that he landed funny on something. It looks like it's weak. But then he stayed and he played for another 2 minutes. So everyone was like, oh, he's probably cool. And then this news comes out. Yeah, that's what I heard. But I think they're in big trouble.
Yep, they're cursed.
Yeah, the real tragedy in that is that it's already like mid-June. So if it's a torn ACL, you got to figure he's out all of next season. So he just loses the whole season.
Wow.
He's only going to get better. That's brutal. That's the real screwed up thing of all this.
Yeah,
you know?
The Clippers are so cursed. I mean, they really are. It's like insane. And, you know, just on the last pod, I think we were speculating about him, you know, because he's a free agent, you know. Maybe the Knicks, maybe the Warriors. None of that's happening now. I mean, it's
he was playing as good as anybody.
Anyone.
Even KD. Yeah, he was playing that good. I mean, I thought they were going to go to the finals, and now, you know, forget it. They're probably losing next 2.
That would have been fun. Clippers, Nets. You know,
big superstars. Yeah, I didn't want to play them.
Yeah, And
if you look at their roster, you would think like, yes, they should be in the finals. But for some reason, to me, I just think the chemistry issues are still there. For some reason, they start slow. They go down 0-2 in every series, yeah. And then they're climbing out of a hole. My vision was that they were going to lose in 7 to Utah this year, and then they were probably going to have to figure out how to blow it up. But Kawhi was playing incredible. So tough blow.
Yeah.
I think nobody right now is feeling better than Utah, right? I mean,
I know.
Conley's coming back soon. They got home court for the rest of the way. I think they match up pretty well against Phoenix.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you're Utah, you're sitting pretty. Like, this might be your time. This is your time. Like, with everybody injured, this might be the chance. Like, this is your chance to win a title.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you match up Utah versus Phoenix, right? If I'm the Jazz, I feel good about a Rudy Gobert versus DeAndre Ayton matchup. Ayton looks a little bit slender to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Gobert's going to be able to handle him pretty well. I don't see Utah having a lot of problems with the Suns, honestly.
I don't.
Right.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that's going to be a fun game, kind of similar teams, but yeah, I mean, we'll see with Chris Paul. I think he'll be okay, but yeah, Clippers are fucked. Yeah, Jazz.
Oh man, I'm already thinking about it. Utah Jazz win the title. And all Knicks fans will hear is, well, you could have drafted Donovan Mitchell. He brought a title to Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of went up a level, right?
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
And he reminds me, ironically, and he's now one of the owners. He reminds me a little. He got a little Dwayne Wade in him.
D Wade, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'd see that.
Well,
for sure.
You keep seeing the clips of him, like, going to the sideline, D Wade giving him, you know, some tips and, you know, whatever, and it's just like, yeah, exactly. It's like perfect there.
Similar bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the dreams of, you know, Donovan Mitchell getting traded to the Knicks. I mean, Kawhi, all these guys, forget it. None of it's happening. But we still got Luka.
Luka's out there.
Lonzo Ball, they have mutual interest.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie. Wait, so what's his deal?
You guys didn't mention that. Last pod, you guys were talking about possible Knicks options. Okay. I remember thinking you guys should have mentioned Dinwiddie.
Well, he hates the Knicks, no?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he probably want to stay local, maybe. Yeah.
Well, what's his deal? I heard there was a chance he can come back in the playoffs. If they're still there?
Yeah, he's saying he's trying to make it back for the finals if they get there.
If they get there, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they, like, of the three remaining teams, obviously two more games of the Bucks and Sixers, Hawks. What team are you afraid of the most out of those three?
Oh, I think it's 1,000% Philly.
Okay, you are. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I just don't know. Like, I don't know what you'd do with Embiid if you're the Nets, honestly. Like, you see what Giannis is doing. And, you know, endgame stuff with Giannis, it's you know, we all laugh, right? Yeah. But, like, at the end of the day, like, it's 30-10 every night.
Yeah.
So Embiid's going to do the same thing, except Embiid could actually make his free throws. Embiid's going to make his mid-range shots. Embiid's going to make his threes.
Yeah.
I just don't see how they're going to stop him. He's definitely going to average, you know, 35, 40 points a game in that series. It might not matter if they can get some guys back, but I don't know how you overcome that. Plus, now you have guys like Simmons and you have guys like Thybulle on the perimeter against Kyrie, who might be might play, Harden, who might be compromised. So I don't know. That's definitely the toughest matchup. Plus, Philly is home court. So
that too. Yeah, they were the one seed. Yeah. Definitely Thybulle and Simmons defenders, and Bede's a great defender. Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, I'd love to see that series. Nets.
I've been scared of them all year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see. Yeah, a lot of basketball left. Let's transition to the Mavs. What is happening there? I mean, the whole thing with Bob Bugaris and Donnie Nelson and Cubes. Now Nelson and Bugaris are out. Luka, I guess, was really tight with Donnie Nelson, and this, like, changes things. Who knows? Supposedly he's going to make a statement tomorrow. I don't know how true that is, but, like, where do you see this going? I mean, I think it's all noise and he'll just sign that crazy max and be a Mav for life, but what do you guys think?
Where did all this come from with Donnie Nelson because he's been there forever.
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban has also said, like, you know, when it comes to even his coach, Rick Carlisle, he'd rather change a wife than change the head coach. He's like through and through with Rick Carlisle. Play with him, you know, brought him that title, and he'll be there forever. And Donnie Nelson did a great job over the years. I mean, they won a title. They were able to get talent in and out.
Yep.
What the hell happened that now he's out? It's so strange.
Yeah.
So, I'm wondering now if Carlisle is even going to stay.
He's been
I don't know. Just, you know, the house is on fire, it seems like. And, you know, there's like 10 or 12 pretty good openings. I think if the Milwaukee loses that series, that's going to be another opening. And I think Carlisle is probably going to have his choice of any seat if he wants to jump ship.
Right.
So I'm wondering if he's even going to stick around. Because, I mean, if you look at that roster, yeah, Luka's awesome. But, like, I don't really know. I don't know what they're going to do as far as roster construction.
They're really stuck.
Yeah.
They're really stuck. And it looks like Porzingis is unhappy. He's complaining that he's not getting enough shine.
What else is there?
They don't have draft picks. The Knicks have them all.
Right.
They have Luka, and then they have just kind of a bunch of underperforming guys with talent, definitely. Like guys like Hardaway and Maxi Kleber. And they have talent, but they're underperforming talent.
Yeah.
They're in a really tough spot where everybody in the West is getting better. I mean, if you look at the Golden State Warriors, we're not even a thought right now. But next year, they're going to bring back Klay Thompson. They'll have Draymond. They'll have a refreshed Steph Curry for not playing in the playoffs.
Right.
They're going to have another year of a developing Wiseman and possibly a top five pick in the NBA draft. So, and that's just one team. So they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And you have to make Luka happy. I would imagine that you're going to see Luka Doncic being the first $300 million dollar basketball player in the NBA. He signs a massive deal and they'll make it work.
Yeah.
But really, he's going to be stuck there. He's going to be like Kevin Garnett in Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah. And can I just say one thing about Luka also? Like, obviously, if you're doing a redraft, right, he's the number one guy.
Yeah.
Like 22 years old. Yeah. You know, all that. I feel like he's kind of a hard guy to build around. Like, if you think about players, like, if you think about maybe it could be the way they run their offense, but if you think about the type of players, I mean, other than like a standstill shooter, who's the guy, like, what's the type that you want to play with Luka? Because really, he's doing it himself. He's, you know, the offense is the Luka offense, and most of the shots that he creates are just jump shots, right? Right. It's not like they're running pick and roll or, you know, any of his other stuff. It's mostly just Luka doing Luka stuff, pivoting, getting into the paint, and then finding the open guy on either a cut or a three-pointer. So I don't know if there's like to talk about a second star. Who's that second star that's going to really, you know, that's going to be a big back seat.
It reminds me a lot of the Houston Rockets with James Harden that year.
100%. 100%.
Well, yeah, your tweet, yeah. Adam.
the year that team went to the Western Conference Finals, Game 7, where they played the Warriors. I mean, that's probably the ceiling for Dallas, like if they were even able to get some talent around Luka. But maybe that's the model and how you build around it. You're absolutely right.
I'll tell you, yes, the second and third player, the second player, Julius, and RJ Barrett. Bring him to the Knicks, baby. Let's go.
I love it.
Nah, it's the pipe dream of all pipe dreams. But yeah, you make a good point. It's too early to say. I mean, he really is only, what is this, his third season? Right?
Third. Yeah.
And, you know, bubble season's tough to judge. But, like, it's I have no idea. I guess, I mean, he's so good so early, it's, like, mind-blowing. You know what I mean? Like, he's, would you say he's top five player already?
Oh, yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, he's 22. Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
There are times I watched him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, wow, he's the best player I've seen since LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, when you're watching prime LeBron.
Definitely, you know? Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, just without the athleticism, but the way he, you know, just controls the game is yeah, just like LeBron. It's pretty amazing. So yeah, so the Mavs, they're gonna be like a team to watch on all levels this offseason. Carlisle,
I think Porzingis deserves a good chunk of the blame. And I'm like, I was like the head of the Porzingis was a horrible trade. So I'm gonna eat crow on that. Yeah, I'm gonna eat crow on that a little bit. But if you think about what Porzingis was, like, it was like, okay, you had Karl Anthony Towns, Porzingis was on that level. And then Jokic was like, when Jokic was coming up, it was like, I remember when Jokic and the Nuggets came to New York, it was like Jokic and Porzingis. These guys are the same level player. Like, that was the thought.
There were games. Yeah. Paul DeLury, I don't know where he is tonight. Shout out to Paul. But
eating sorbet.
he's at home eating sorbet.
Yeah.
But he Love used it. To, you know, Jokic used to string along with a few good games, and I remember he used to always tell me, man, I think I would rather have this guy than Porzingis. And I used to go apeshit because I was the number one Kristaps Porzingis fan, and I would say, you're absolutely nuts. Porzingis is the future. Like, he's the unicorn. And now looking at it years later, it's like, damn, I don't know what you could even get back in a trade for Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, he's really fallen from grace, like, big time. And I remember there was that one game. It might have been more than one game, but there was one when it was like Jokic versus Porzingis, and Jokic went off. And like, he was like not really a name then. KP was, just because, like, you know, he plays for the Knicks, big market. And it was like an eye opener for sure. And now Jokic is the fucking MVP of the league, which is crazy to think about. Sucks the way they went out, you know, getting swept. But, you know, not having Murray, Porter, I mean, that back is a real problem, I think, unfortunately. So I don't know what the Nuggets do moving forward. I guess just wait for Murray to come back and just hope Porter's back stays afloat.
Isn't the MVP getting swept? Like, does that date back to David Robinson? See, back in the day, they used to hand the trophy like to the MVP like at center court in front of the other team, like for game one.
Right.
And I remember reading a story, like Olajuwon thought he should have been the MVP. And they presented David Robinson the MVP trophy before the game started. And Olajuwon he strung together the best four games of his career. Like, he just wanted to actually.
Yeah.
Can we start a campaign to do that again? Can we go back to that?
They got to do that.
Yeah.
He just destroyed David Robinson for four games straight.
I feel like they got rid of that the year when Dirk won it, and then they got eliminated in the first round, and they gave it out in the second round, and Dirk was like in a suit because the Mavs weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
His trophy when they lost to the 8 seed.
Yeah, that Warriors team with Baron Davis and who else? Yep. What's his face was on it that fought with Derek Fisher.
Matt Barnes.
Who else was on that? Barnes, oh, Steven Jackson, obviously.
Andres Biedrins, was he on that team?
Yeah,
might have something to throw back. Yeah, that team.
Mike Dunleavy Jr. Man.
That team was fun.
Oh yeah, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, team was fun, but yeah, gonna be interesting. There's a lot of coaching slots open. I mean, Stan Van Gundy got fired today. Scott Brooks and the Wizards parted ways, which was probably a good idea. I don't know what the Wizards are going to do now. I mean, geez, this offseason, I feel like every season the offseason gets crazier and crazier. I mean, it's just so much fun, NBA
offseason. It seems like a third of the league doesn't have a coach.
I know. It's
crazy. The Stan Van Gundy thing was, the whole hiring was very strange, right? You have like a misfit toy group of a roster. And then you bring this guy in, and he, I don't know, to me, it seems like he can't relate to any of these players. Like, at least Tom Thibodeau, when the Knicks hired him, right, they were going to establish a culture in a place where culture did not exist. But then all of his assistant coaches, think about who the assistant coaches are. You got Johnny Bryant. You had Mike Woodson. You had what's his face? I'm drawing a blank on his name. From Kentucky, right? All these guys are all players' coaches. You know, they're all developmental guys. It seems like Stan Van Gundy went there and it was just like, all right, you got to coach Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, and you know, you're stuck in like a 90s or early 2000s half court offense style of play,
right?
Defense. So it just never seemed that wasn't the right hire at all.
Yeah, and then just like piggyback off that, like Thibodeau had Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose there. Like, those guys had been there and been to the playoffs, and they were able to vouch for Tibbs. I don't know if Van Gundy has anybody left in the league, like Dwight Howard. Those teams his players aren't around anymore.
He had Redick. He had Redick.
Oh, Redick. Yeah, we did have Redick.
He did have Redick. I'd love to hear Redick comment on that. He's got his own podcast about the firing and how that all went. But with Stan, it's weird, right? Like, because before he was a commentator on ESPN, and like he used to go on like the Levitard show pretty often, and like he would talk about like Chicago Fire and like racism and like, you know, different stuff. I feel like he got really comfortable like in that role.
Yeah.
And going back to coaching, I think it just wasn't the right time, or just maybe it's just time to just stick to commenting, you know. I don't know.
I also think that wasn't an easy team to coach.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Zion is just, he's awesome, but he's not there. He's not ready to win.
No.
Ingram's a weird fit. And then I don't know why they made the Steven Adams trade. Lonzo might not be the perfect point guard for them. I don't know. They had a lot of talent, but it was just, like Josh said, it was like a bunch of misfit toys. It was like the square pegs and round holes and stuff like that.
Just thrown together.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they hire next.
Yeah. Well, that brings... Again, so much news today. That brings me, and we brought this up actually on the last pod about Coach Cal, John Calipari, who is now being rumored to want to make that jump back to the NBA, back to the league. It's your boy, former New Jersey Nets coach.
I love Coach Cal.
You love Coach Cal?
I love Coach Cal.
Yeah. I think he's perfect for the NBA. I think he was good for Kentucky in that, you know, just recruiting, but Paul will attest to this if he was here. Just not a good in-game coach. I think he only won. Did he only win one title at Kentucky? Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. One title.
One title. Yeah. So
he made the playoffs with the Nets.
He did. And UMass, he brought
the Cassell team.
Yeah, and UMass, you know, he brought them. They were like so irrelevant, and he got Marcus.
They were dormant, and he brought them to the playoffs. Then they traded for Marbury, and then everything submarined after that.
Oh, right, right. So where do you see him land with all the coach openings? I mean, we were saying possibly the Celtics. He goes back to Massachusetts. I don't know where. I mean, he probably would go somewhere where there's like a lot of Kentucky players, which would be the Knicks. So that you know, he can't go there. But I don't know. Like, what makes, like, Portland doesn't make sense. I don't know where he goes.
I mean, if his greatest strength is recruiting, then wouldn't he want to? I mean, what would be the ideal location for somebody that's really good at recruiting? If that's your best strength,
right?
You would think a big market, right? Somewhere where they're already going to be in the conversation for these guys. So I don't really know. I mean, Dallas might be a great spot for him, honestly.
Dallas, okay. Okay.
If that were to open up, but if not, I mean, Boston had success,
right?
Recruiting guys, and then everything kind of fell apart the last few years. So maybe just to like rehabilitate that. But the word with Boston is, I heard they were like dead set on hiring a black coach.
They said that straight up, like needs to be
a
black coach.
They, like everybody they interviewed, like the that's what everyone, like through the grapevine, that's what they said, and everyone they interviewed so far, from what I read. So I don't know if Cal's going to be their guy. I know they're trying to change their image. But he might be a guy that makes sense for them if they want to get back on the recruiting thing and maybe get in the conversation for guys like maybe Karl Anthony Towns or something like that.
Right.
But I'm not really sure. Cal's in a tough spot, right? Because I think the best thing – people say recruiting, but I genuinely think he cares about those kids and he likes teaching, right? He's more of like a – he's a lot like Larry Brown in that sense. He wants to develop people and teach.
Yeah.
In-game coaches, X and O's. He's okay. He's good. He's good. But he's not going to be, you know, at the level of your Rick Pitinos or anybody like that. So to me, I think the best thing for him is to be a general manager or a president somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think that might make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he'd probably miss, you know, the teaching aspect of it and, you know, actual coaching of these young guys. Boston makes a lot of sense because he had so much success and was so loved at UMass. So, I mean, head coach of the Boston Celtics and the NBA doesn't get much better than that, right?
Right.
It's Lakers and Celtics. So,
right.
To me, that makes sense.
Maybe.
And, you know, going back to the Dallas thing also, like Josh, you just mentioned like a front office thing. And, you know, it's funny. All this Dallas stuff falls today. And today is the day that Calipari is like, yeah, maybe I'll try the NBA.
Yeah, and, that's true.
You know, yeah. Hey, Luca, I could maybe be the front office guy with Luca there.
So you mentioned, yeah, like, you know, Coach Cal going to Dallas and he gets to coach Luca. Do you think there would have been, I mean, it's probably easy to say yes, but I want you to picture this, right? Coach Cal is coaching the New Jersey Nets, and say instead of Keith Van Horn, they actually hit the lotto and they get Tim Duncan, right? Or say instead of getting kind of tricked into taking care of Kittles, they take Kobe Bryant, right? He probably is a coach for a very long time in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
That's a great point, yeah. And the word was he was banging the table for Kobe, but the agent just kind of forced his way off of that happening.
Wow.
Right.
So, yeah, the agent was like, okay, if you guys draft him, he's going to go play in Italy.
It makes a huge difference if you're the coach and you could have a superstar, especially if we're saying Luka's top five, top three in the NBA, then maybe that's the spot, that is the spot for him.
What about the Wizards, Washington? Bradley Beal? He was a Kentucky Wildcat, wasn't he?
No, Florida Gator.
Why did I think he was a Kentucky guy? Oh, yeah. Never mind. Sorry. my bad.
I still don't hate it, though.
Yeah,
I feel like they're very close to just being a complete rebuild because I don't think Beal's going to be there like forever.
Yeah, like what's the deal with him? I mean, he's mentioned in trade talks for a while now. You know, I mean,
he's like the logical guy. Like he's like the logical guy. Like him and Towns, like it makes sense. Like he's on a bad team. He's a really good player. Go, but he all the intel is that like he's happy and he wants to be there and he wants to win there. So. I don't know. Maybe he's just like kind of like Lillard in that way.
Yeah, same with Lillard.
It used to be back in the day that you could say if you have a five-star all-star, right? You could trade the five-star all-star for maybe like a two or a three and then get draft picks as well. Like I'm just picturing, like imagine Washington traded Beal to Chicago for Zach LaVine and then say like three first-rounders. But nowadays, the first rounders, and I know this firsthand because the Knicks have gone through it, it's really hard to draft somebody good or impactful.
Right.
Over the last years, like I think, you know, there's not too many really impactful kids that come in and just dominate right away.
I have a theory that if you go back to the Nets trade, I think the Nets trade, I'm talking about the Boston trade, where they traded every pick. Yeah. I think that trade empowered people to be willing to give away their draft picks because the next trade is the absolute worst case scenario of what could possibly happen if you do that trade because they made that trade and then 2 years later, they were the worst team in the NBA for the next 4 years. So that's the absolute bottom of the barrel that could happen. And the likelihood of that happening is very slim. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. Like Darren Williams wasn't that good and he ended up falling off and right. Like Pierce left and KG was cooked and it wasn't the right trade to begin with. So if that's your worst case scenario and you see the way that they came back, then any hole is possible. So you might as well go all in because even if it takes 3 to 4 or 5 years, if you have the right people in place, you can come back, you can come out of it. So it's like, okay, fine. Take the next 7 draft picks. If I can get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and maybe get a title now.
Yeah.
You know, There's like a Harvard Business Case Review study to be done on the Nets like during those years because they also like what I learned during those years too is right the deal where they made the Lakers attached crap asset right crap contract to D'Angelo Russell. The Nets said fine, we'll absorb it, we'll take it on, and then yeah they had to eat the money for what Timofey Mozgov, right?
yeah. Oh,
but you got D'Angelo Russell and now you have a piece, right? And then you can kind of build on it. So it's not hard to get out of cap hell, and it's much easier now to kind of maneuver and kind of do these deals to get assets and things like that. But I've just not been over the last couple of years. I've not been impressed by a lot of these kids that are like top 10 picks. They're just not ready.
Right.
It seems like the range now is bigger. Like I don't know. It used to be. It feels like usually I would say from like 2005 and before, it was like okay, the top five guys like, you know, those are going to typically be the, you know, to top of the draft, and occasionally it slipped through the cracks. But now it feels like you can get the top player in the draft. Like, look at like Giannis, or look at like Jokic. Like these guys went really late, and now those guys are the top player in the draft. That like never happened. So, right. I don't know, I feel like things have changed, just maybe because the world is so much better at basketball versus just the U.S.
Yeah, if you look at just the NBA first, second, and third teams, I think just on the first team, I saw three out of the five guys are international. So,
oh right, yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's a different league now for sure. By the way, Julius, second team, unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people got snubbed, and there's been a lot of stuff about, you know, this person should have made it and that person should have made it. But realistically, right, there's only 15 spots, right? You got three teams, and I think Julius Randle should be on one of those teams. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, listen, how we started this podcast, right? The best player probably in the league wasn't on either, like any of them. So,
yeah.
You know, and that goes back to injuries, right? Like, that's another crazy thing. I think this is the most injuries we've had of superstars in the playoffs, like ever, they were saying.
Yes.
Like 9 injuries already. It's crazy.
Did you guys see what LeBron said?
Yeah, he was tweeting about it, right? Just like, gotta stay in shape like me or some bullshit, right? Like, I don't know. Like,
he was saying, he was kind of like doing the I told you so thing.
Right.
Where it was like, oh yeah, yes. What did I say at the beginning of the year? We shouldn't have started.
Well, is that the case? Like, what is it?
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
But, like, what is it? Like, why are, like, only superstars getting, like, injured? Like, I mean, you know.
I think it's just a fluky thing, honestly. Yeah, I really think it's condensed schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about the condensed schedule, but, I mean, I feel like most of these guys got nights off. Like, lots of nights off. Who went the distance, really, this year, besides Jokic? I feel like most guys took time.
Yeah,
Westbrook maybe.
Julius.
Yeah, Westbrook played a lot.
Julius.
Julius. Yeah.
Yeah. Randall. Randall was. Yeah. Yep.
But that's
I
like.
No, they complain. They complain a lot. Yes. Granted, there was a short period between the Lakers championship and the start of the new season, but these guys got world class chefs, state of the art gyms.
They, I know.
they got everything. They got doctors. They have all this stuff, and they do load management now. So. I don't know. I agree with Adam. It's probably a fluke thing. It's also playoff time. Everything is more intense. You're playing intense defense than trying to score the basketball as hard as you can on offense. Like, you might get hurt.
Yeah, but maybe.
So, yeah, it's just the playoff.
And you make a good point. Maybe it pays to just, like, go harder in the regular season because then you're in better condition and you're not, like, you know, going from 0 to 100 just like that. You know, from regular season to playoffs, but
yeah, I think and I think in some cases it could be like when I look at Harden, I really think his thing might have been like he was always a party guy, but like this year he took it to another level.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean?
He did.
Like sometimes sometimes you can't just get by. Like you know, conditioning matters, especially you get older with injuries. But I really didn't appreciate what LeBron said also because. You know, like the stuff. Oh yeah, they started a month later than they said, earlier than they said they were going to say, and it was a money thing. But like that money might not matter to guys like LeBron. But like, what about a guy like Chris Chiazza on a two-way or something like that?
Right.
Who's getting a piece of the revenue? Like that guy. That month is a big deal for him.
Absolutely.
You know. So I don't know.
I just hope this isn't something that's just going to get worse, where the players, especially the superstar players, just. They're not going to give a fuck about the regular season, like more and more as we get going, which would be a shame, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't make this regular season, I said it on the last podcast, you can't make this like week 17 in the NFL where some games it's like, all right, maybe the starting quarterback's playing, maybe we get the backup, some guys are playing hard, some guys are not, depending on who they are. Sometimes I think LeBron James says stuff because – throughout, and it was like evident during Michael Jordan's documentary on Netflix, right? Through the 10 episodes, Michael Jordan just played, right? And he didn't stand up for a lot of things. Like he didn't get involved in politics or wasn't outspoken or spoke on behalf of the entire league unless he absolutely had to. But, and maybe he got criticized for that, but LeBron, I think, is trying to be the exact opposite. And sometimes he's talking too much and it doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, a lot of his tweets don't make sense. Now Space Jam's coming out, and he's, you know, talking a little bit more, maybe trying to promote that. And are you guys gonna go see that?
I always feel like with LeBron, there's always an ulterior motive.
Oh yes, that's what I'm saying.
You know, yeah. Like everything he says, it's veiled, and there's like everything's calculated with him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Are you guys gonna go see Space Jam?
yeah, I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at the movies actually the other night for the first time since pre-COVID.
Oh really? What did you see?
I saw Cruella.
Oh, Cruella. Okay.
Yeah, that was my penance for making my fiance watch basketball for, you know, 47 hours.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I did your deed. Now you do mine. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any good?
It was fine. I don't know.
Was it weird being in a movie theater?
No. I mean, it was like normal. You know, there was nobody there. And yeah, it was good to be back. Actually, it felt good to be in the theater. Do I wish maybe we were seeing something else? Sure, but yeah. Yeah,
don't worry. M Night Shyamalan has a new movie next month. You and me, buddy.
Oh, I'm there with you for old, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that looks interesting.
Check that out.
Yeah. People are getting old. What is it, every half hour they get like a year older? Some shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like some shit. Typical M. Night Shyamalan world. Right. We'll shit our pants and then be enlightened at the end. Yeah.
Right. They were all dead the whole time. Some shit.
Yeah, you don't know if you loved it or it was the worst movie of all time.
Right, right. That's a good way. Good way to describe it. Before we go, Juice, make your predictions. U.S. Open. Right now.
Okay. So I'll tell you right now. There's a lot of talk about Phil Mickelson winning the PGA at age 50. He turned 51 today. Happy birthday, Phil. A lot of talk about this Bryson versus Brooks and all the drama.
Yep.
The next headline is Xander Schauffele is this is his home course.
Souffle?
Want to play. Souffle, shout out to Paul.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the under the radar pick. I'm going to go Rory McIlroy.
Ooh, okay.
Didn't you take Rory for the PGA?
I don't remember.
Go to the tapes. Go to the tapes.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But I'm going to go Rory. And that's just pure feeling. I think he's played this course a million times.
Mm.
He, you know, I have a feeling that the spotlight isn't on him. It'll be less pressure. He can drive the ball in a long course. I'm going to go Rory.
Okay.
I actually bet Paul's boy, Souffle, after that last podcast you guys did. I was like, you know what? I'm taking my guy 17-1.
Oh wow! Good.
And nice. I also took Phil Harmon.
Who's that?
Oh,
Phil. I don't actually. I think it's Brian Harmon.
Brian Harmon.
Yeah. My bad. Say. Yeah. Okay. I know he's lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lefty. So.
Yeah, I don't. Where is it?
It said Torrey Pines.
Oh, Torrey Pines, right? Yes. Okay.
It's okay. a very difficult course.
Yes.
My prediction is you're going to see a big name win. It's going to be a big name.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I mean, I'm digging the Brooks versus Bryson thing. When's that again? When's that with Brady and was it Rogers?
Oh, the match? That's July, like right after the 4th of July.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun. Because wasn't the last match like the most like viewed golf event like ever or something like that? Something crazy.
Oh yeah, I watched it. That was like peak quarantine, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll never forget Mad Dog, Chris Russo, like ranting before that like event went down, like basically just like flipping out saying I could give a shit about them golfing. I wanna hear Peyton Manning and Tom Brady give behind the scenes analysis about quarterbacking. Like I want to hear that instead of them watching them golf or whatever. I don't know. You go back and like I'm sure you could search for it on Twitter. It's epic, but yeah.
But it's kind of funny. So it's Bryson and Aaron Rodgers versus Phil and Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's been talking a lot of shit to Aaron Rodgers. And sometimes I think like it's all done in jest. They're joking around,
right?
But sometimes the way Aaron Rodgers looks, he looks like he's not like happy. He's like, oh fuck off, because he keeps hinting at, oh, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't allowed to go for it, and you know the Bucks beat them in the NFC championship game. So he keeps like hinting at that, and Aaron Rodgers is like, all right, go eat a hamburger, you motherfucker.
is Rodgers any good?
I who knows?
Don't know.
He seems,
I'm sure he is.
He seems like one of these guys, like anything he, you know, tries his hand at, he's probably good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, football, Jeopardy, you know, who knows what else. Dating, I guess. I don't freaking know. he's a character. It's going to be interesting what happens with him, obviously. Does he even love football anymore? I don't know. But yeah, I'll watch that. And, you know, we'll see with the open and stuff. But yeah, did anything we didn't get to, guys?
I was going to say, what about your boy, Zach Wilson, lighting it up in the camp?
Yeah, yeah. Paul's very, shout out to Paul again. He's been very excited. literally every update from camp, you know, Zach Wilson to Elijah Moore has been very common, which I'm loving. Yeah, so far so good. I mean, I hate to get excited over shit like this, but yeah, we'll see.
Did you guys see Trevor Lawrence's numbers in his first camp today?
No, bad.
he was like 2 for 14 with 11 picks.
Wow,
nice.
I think he's coming off surgery though. So
true. Well, Tua, I know, yeah. Tua had what, 5 picks?
Yeah.
That's sorry for your, you know, shouts to Mike. That's gotta be brutal. Maybe what, they'll still make the trade for what's his face, Watson. Is that happening? Like, where's Deshaun Watson, y'all?
Yeah, I don't know. I people stopped talking about that. So
yeah, that's when totally.
I just assumed it was dead.
Yeah, who knows? who knows? But all right. Well. Looking forward to watching the rest of, especially the Nets Bucks. Go Bucks. should be interesting. Thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure.
Oh no, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to do it again, depending on how far the Nets go. If they lose, you can come on and cry. If they win, you know, whatever. I don't know.
My only question is, do you guys want to do a podcast post-parade?
Ugh. Ugh. With that being said, take care. Comb your hair.
Later. Peace. Later, guys.
Peace. You're welcome. You're welcome!